employees and contractors. In this week's Legal Loop, we've asked Greg Rinke of the law firm Tully Rinke to give us his top four legal issues to watch in 2014. No surprise, they're based on those loose ends from last year. And Greg Rinke joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So, yeah, there is some loose ends that are tying over into 2014. I guess that's always the way it is. I still haven't cleaned out some files yet. But number four on your list is falling from near perfection, the Merit Systems Protection Board's handling of furlough appeals. What's going on there, and what do they need to resolve this coming year?
Well, the Merit Systems Protection Board had basically held processing any of the furlough appeals, and recently we've seen some activity on their website where they're posting the actual administrative files. As of the 26th of December, they posted Department of Defense administrative files for the furloughs. So I believe this year we're going to see the processing of those cases moving forward. However, for federal employees, the outlook doesn't look good because the past 60 cases that were decided by the MSPB all basically affirmed the furlough decision. So it's likely that almost all furlough decisions that have been appealed will be affirmed this year.
And why falling from near perfection? Is the MSPB struggling?
The MSPB has struggled in the past, yes. And, you know, we're hopeful this year that we'll see a turnaround in the MSPB, you know, processing these cases a little bit faster. But still, I don't see the average federal employee benefiting from the furlough decisions at all.
The furlough decisions, can they be pretty much whipped up together and all handled as one big blob with a finding that none of them are legitimate because the furloughs were handled fairly, or do they have to do them all one by one?
Well, I mean, they have been handling them one by one, but that's one way of looking at it, is now saying that these cases are now potentially moot because these the most federal employees have received back pay. So that corrected a lot of the issues resulting from the furlough decisions.
And I suppose this could also slow down things for future appeals to the Merit Systems Protection Board from federal employees bringing all sorts of things if they're still tied up with the furlough appeals and they haven't issued the final rulings on those.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So number three on your list, and we're working backwards here from four to one, leaving people a little bit of suspense. Military justice reforms. A lot of possibilities there. What do you think is going to go on in 2014?
Well, we're seeing a lot of changes, especially with everything going on with the sexual assaults in the military. So there's been a lot of changes in the National Defense Act, prohibiting certain people from enlisting that have any sexual offenses in their background, a tighter look on the chain of command. If the convening authority or the chain of command makes a decision not to prosecute a sexual assault, it's going to have to be justified. And that'll be passed up the chain of command. Also, retaliation against victims or people that bring complaints of sexual assaults or harassment, there's going to be greater protection. And also what we're seeing is convening authorities, their ability to overturn convictions after court-martial are going to be limited. So there's going to be a lot of changes coming to the UCMJ and to the military justice system, you know, overall. Basically, it's a compromise between what Senator Gillibrand wanted of taking all authority away from the convening authority to now kind of making the convening authority or the commander justify their actions and put an oversight on it. So I think it's a good compromise.
So how does this get inculcated throughout the military? I mean, it's one thing for law to say this and thus and the other shall be so, but you've got a big judicial organization spread throughout the world, you know, in the JAG workforce and so on. So how long do you think it'll take before people really inculcate this into their daily decisions?
Well, it's going to take some time. However, the UCMJ and the manual for court martials will be updated, and the JAG schools will teach it, and all the JAGs that go back for their CLEs every year will learn it. And, you know, I think that within a couple of months, it'll be implicated, you know, pretty quickly through the force. You know, teaching commanders, that's going to take a little bit of time, and educating commanders, but I think this is a good start, and I think we'll see some change coming.
We're speaking with Greg Rinke. He's managing partner of Tully Rinke. And Greg, you were a former military lawyer before having your own firm. What do you think this is going to do in terms of the day-to-day running of the court, of the military legal system for people such as military prosecutors and defense attorneys?
Well, I mean, it's going to make some of their job a little bit more challenging. It'll also make the process of educating commanders a little bit more challenging, in that the advice you give is going to have to be backed up now by the commander if the commander doesn't agree with it. In the past, if a commander didn't agree with their JAG's advice, you know, basically so be it. They moved on. But now if a JAG makes a decision or a recommendation, I should say, that the case should be prosecuted and the commander doesn't agree with it, the commander is going to have to back that up in writing and justify the rationale. So it's going to put more pressures and more work on the JAGs that are in the force, but hopefully it'll result in better justice for everyone in the military.
And who knows, maybe it'll have the positive effect of reducing the number of these types of cases altogether.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your number two and number one related, and I'm not sure which is two and which is one, but let's go with what I think is number two, and that is Edward Snowden's fate and the question of, well, Edward Snowden's fate. Will we nab him? What's going to happen there?
Well, I mean, there's talk of asylum potentially, or immunity for, or amnesty for Snowden, and then there's also talk of prosecution for him. There's good arguments on both sides as to what should happen to him. I don't see an amnesty deal or immunity deal coming from the government, based on the fact that he stole 1.5 million classified documents. And what precedent does this set for future potential people that hold security clearances? And it's definitely interesting to see what happens, because as time goes by, more and more of his secrets are coming out. So that's kind of the argument to say, well, maybe we should give him immunity so some of the secrets that he still has, don't come out as part of that deal. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Snowden.
Do you think he might have launched a poison pill on his own life? If something happens to him, then it all gets blown up, released?
I mean, that's definitely a possibility. And, I've heard that theory from various people. And I think, he's probably definitely thinking about that, is what happens if something happens to him or if he's nabbed. That's a way of kind of protecting everything that he's, gained access to. So it's definitely a possibility that he has a poison pill or a sleeper out there that has access to his information as well.
And Greg, just on the flip side, do you think the government is going to actively pursue him and try to prosecute him in the way that we saw them do with Bradley, now Chelsea Manning?
Mm-hmm. I think that's still the route that the government is moving at this point, based on the leaks, based on the volume of information, and based on the way that he went about disclosing the information. Yes, I think that the government is still going to try and prosecute him.
And I guess number one on your list is the fate of the NSA itself and what's going to happen to the surveillance programs that it has operated, in its view and the administration's view, legally, according to extant legislation.
Right. I mean, there's been various rulings already. Judge Leon has ordered the government to stop collecting phone records. It's kind of interesting when we look at the legal precedent, because going back many years ago, there was legal precedent that said when you dial a phone number, basically the numbers that, or the digits that you push in on the register, once you dial a number, is no longer private. It's being disclosed to a phone company, therefore it's now public. However, because so much of our technology now has evolved, now the judges have started to kind of move to the other side and saying, well, this is, now there's a reasonable expectation of privacy in the numbers dialed on a phone or internet. I think it goes back, both ways. I think, there's good arguments on both sides. However, there's been another judge, Judge Paltry, bolstered the position of the NSA just recently on December 27th, saying that, basically this is part of the government's counterpunch against the 9/11 attacks, and that it's reasonable. I think we're setting ourselves up for arguments on both sides, and the courts will eventually, probably the Supreme Court, will have to make a decision on this case.
And Greg, anything for us in particular to look for next in terms of this case? I mean, in other words, is there another lawsuit that we should be looking at or an appeal that is coming?
Well, I think that both sides will likely appeal both of these decisions. You know, the one saying that the NSA cannot, Judge Leon's decision saying the NSA cannot collect phone records and that people have an individual right of expectation of privacy. I think that, yes, I think we're going to see appeals on both of those and likely setting ourselves up for appeals eventually to the Supreme Court. I mean, it's definitely an interesting issue as technology has evolved in the rights and reasonable expectations of privacy.
Greg Rinke is a managing partner at the law firm Tully Rinke. And Greg, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we're going to post this interview